a challenging passage, challenging in the details and challenging in the overall contents. So, Father, please lead us by your Spirit tonight so that we may understand and apply the message. Amen. When I was in my early 20s, from time to time my relatives would ask the question, you know, something like this: "So, Hugh, are there any young ladies you want to tell us about?" Now, I hated that question. I found it embarrassing, but it's a pretty common question, isn't it? In fact, as much as I hated it, I've even found myself guilty of asking it. So, to start with this afternoon, I want you to turn to the people around you and share your thoughts on why people ask the question. What motivates people to ask, "So, when are you getting married?" Or one of the many alternatives to that. Turn to the people around you and share your thoughts on why people are so interested in the marriage question. All right, yes, you can wrap those conversations up. Now, firstly, does everyone get the question? Like, have we heard those sorts of questions around? Yep. Does anyone have anything they wanted to share on a topic? Our group had some good thoughts, and we noted that it's particularly strong in Asian culture. And then there's a series of follow-on questions about when are the grandchildren coming once they do get married. Any other thoughts? Steve first.
There seems to be a kind of elevation of marriage over singleness.
Yeah, so there's just a presumption that everybody wants to and will get married eventually. Yeah. Jane, did I see your hand? A good-hearted pressure, maybe, from usually older people to see you make the next step in life. Yep. Well, last week we started a section on different types of relationships. And this week, Paul continues on with a very, very similar theme. In fact, almost the same theme. The theme of marriage versus singleness. And as we look at this today, please have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 7, starting at verse 25. So, 1 Corinthians 7, 25. Well, Paul shows that he's moving on to a new topic with the words "now about." He will see those words coming up again and again in the coming chapters. He says, "Now about virgins." And our modern ears, that sounds like a fairly loaded term and a strange way to introduce, fairly blunt way to introduce a topic. But let me make a couple of observations, hopefully put it in a bit of context. Firstly, Paul's probably responding to a question from the Corinthians. So he's just reflecting back to them their own language. Secondly, Paul's talking about young women as virgins, but it's a standard he would equally apply to young men. So the gospel calls us to total sexual purity. And if you want proof of that, you can go back and have a look at chapter 6, where he talked about that quite extensively. And finally, Paul's focusing on young people because that's a time when most people get married. There was a time about 6 or 7 years ago where I was going to a wedding, you know, at least every month, almost every week. That's the time that people get married. So that's Paul's main focus here. So the Corinthians have written a letter to Paul and asked something like, Should young, engaged couples get married, or should we stay single? And Paul gives an answer. He says, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. And he means here that Jesus himself didn't say anything on this particular topic. Instead, Paul's using his God-given wisdom, his spiritual wisdom, to draw out the gospel principle. It's not any less authoritative. We believe this is still the Bible. It is still giving us instruction. It's just it's not direct teaching from Jesus. So here's what he says. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Virgins, commands from the Lord. We've had a couple of tricky words already, and now we have this third tricky phrase, because of the present crisis, which nobody knows what that is. There's lots of speculation. Is it some kind of a famine or something that's happening in Corinth at the moment? That's what's causing their present crisis. Is it just the general time before Jesus returns? Or is it the relationship issues that the Corinthians have been facing and that we talked about last week? No one's sure, and it probably doesn't matter too much. What does matter is that Paul says, stay as you are. That was our principle from last week, wasn't it? Stay as you are. If you're married or you're already committed to a marriage, and in this culture, even engagement was a lot more serious than it is today. If you're married or you're already committed to a marriage, then don't break it off. Don't break your promise. Serve God where you are. But if you're not married or engaged, don't rush out and get married. Serve God in your singleness. So that's the principle. Serve God where you are, but if you're single, stay single. And then Paul gives an exception. You might remember last week we had a series of principles and or rules and then a series of exceptions to go with them. So here's the exception to this rule. Verse 28. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. For those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. So the rule of thumb is, if you're single, stay single, and the exception is, if you get married, it's okay. And then Paul gives a reason why. And pay attention here, because this is the principle that lies behind all the advice that Paul gives in this section. Have a look at verse 29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. At the moment, we live in a period of time called the now and the not yet. At least that's what some theologians like to call it. Jesus has risen and gone back to heaven. He's reigning as king now. It's a present reality, but Jesus has not yet returned. The old world has not yet been done away with. We kind of live in this mix between the ages. What that means for Christians is that we can't be complacent. We don't want to live in the old world as if it's all there is to life. If we marry, we need to remember that, well, that's just a temporary state until Jesus returns. We read in that first reading about how in heaven there will be no marriage. If someone dies, we need to remember that it's temporary until Jesus returns and they will rise again. If life is good, we need to remember that it's temporary and something better is on the way. If we purchase things or if we use things, we need to remember that we're only stewards making use of them until Jesus returns and for his glory in the meantime. So do you get that principle there? Do you see what it is saying? It is very important and it applies to all of life. We live in a transition period between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. We need to live in the world with our minds fixed on the next world. Everybody else, all the non-Christians, are focused on this life and they're finding their meaning and happiness in this life, but not us. As the saying goes, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. So that's the principle. And here's how it applies to marriage and singleness. Verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Well, again, there's another tricky question in this little paragraph. What are the Corinthians concerned about? Is it that they have ungodly anxiety? Is it that they're distracted by their partners in an ungodly way? It could well be that. I'm kind of torn between the two options here. Or is it simply that married people have more concerns? Now, I'm leaning towards the second one there. And let me illustrate it. As a married person, I have restrictions on my time. Yesterday, I went to Yumcha to celebrate my brother-in-law's birthday. That was important, it was beneficial, it was enjoyable, but it was a drain on my time. And that's just one example of thousands of distractions to my time. It's not that having a family is bad, it's not that Yumcha is sinful, it's not that I made a bad choice, it's just that my time is divided. As a married person, I have competing priorities. There's only a certain number of hours in my day, and I have to divide them up between the church and other priorities, family. I have a feeling that's what Paul's talking about here. And Paul gives a note of reassurance. It's okay to be single, he says. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul says, when you face the question, don't worry about that pressure that people are putting on you. I'm giving you permission to be single. The choice of singleness is meant to be liberating. It's not meant to be a burden. And then Paul kind of summarises his teaching. If you feel you need to get married, do so. It's not sinful. And if you feel that you don't need to get married, then don't. That's even better. Verse 36. If anyone thinks he's acting improperly towards the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. It's okay to get married. It's a God-ordained institution. It points to the relationship between Jesus and the church. But it's even better not to get married. It's good to give all your focus to the church. And finally, Paul gives instruction to widows. And basically it says the same thing. You can get remarried if you want, but it's better to stay as you are. Have a look at verse 39. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And just to add one more tricky part to the passage, Paul concludes in this way, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God. And he's probably just reaffirming that his wisdom is divine wisdom, especially because some people in Corinth have been questioning his authority, and he just wants to reaffirm that what he says is from God. So that's the passage. It's got quite a few tricky ideas in it, but hopefully the big principle stands out. It's okay to get married, but it's even better to stay single so that you can dedicate yourself to your relationship with God and to the church. So how does this apply to us? Well, as Christians, we value marriage, don't we? Unlike our world, we know the significance of the marriage relationship. We know that it points us to God. We also know that families are important And we want to see strong families. As a church, we put a lot of emphasis on that. And rightly so. It's a good thing and a proper thing to emphasise. But sometimes that comes at the cost of singleness. Today's passage has a challenge for us. It's okay to be single. If you're single here tonight, and that's a state you've chosen, then thank you. Thank you for giving up so much so that you can give yourself to us. The message for you tonight is one of affirmation. Your path is a good one. Perhaps tonight you're single and you'd prefer not to be. I mention this group because we saw last week that not everybody has the gift of singleness. They might be single by circumstance, but not single by gifting. If that's you, then don't worry. It's okay to get married if that opportunity arises. So that's the application for the single people, but there's a challenge here for the married people as well. How do you think about singleness? Do you think of it as a valid option? Is it something you affirm and encourage? Obviously, it wasn't the choice that you made, but do you see it as a valid choice for others? Often the question reveals something about the questioner, doesn't it? We ask, are people getting married because we believe people should get married? We ask because we want people to get married. Marriage is okay, but Paul says singleness is even better. Perhaps you need to readjust your thinking. Perhaps it's not just your thinking that you need to readjust as well. Single people have unique challenges. They don't have a live-in helper that married people have. Are you supporting the single people of the church practically? We live in the now and the not yet. We live in the period before Jesus returns, and our time is precious. You can serve God as a married person, but your focus will be divided. So then, he who marries a virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does even better. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you that you have set us free. Free to serve you in marriage and free to serve you in singleness. And Father, we pray that you will make us people who affirm both those states as good and valid. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.